Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And a quick note before I reintroduce our guest coming up way in the summer, but in June 29th is the annual Fisk Food and Music Festival. So we have our, we just began putting the clarion call out for vendors. If you are wanting to be a vendor at this year's festival, you know, we hold it out here on the Grove, and it's free and open to the public. It's family-oriented, and you can bring your own lawn chair. And we have all-star lineup out here for you in terms of your live music. That's Saturday, June 29th. It's going to be lovely. It will be warm, but we're on the Grove, so you can hide underneath the trees. That helps a lot. But we have had, historically, we've had some really good food vendors and some food trucks and different kind of food vendors, as well as merchandise. You know, you like your jewelry and your T-shirts and makeups and all that kind of stuff. You know, we have that as well. So, and then our mini health fair that our friends from Harry and the Salt Wagon team do to check the blood pressures and different things of that nature, pass out the information on the dental school and the medical information and the providers and our support team, people from Metro Parks, Human Relations Commission, and others in the community that work with us to present the Fisk Food and Music Festival. And we're happy as can be to have number one. I can say that now, X. You notice that, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's number one now. I said, I told Ben, I said, you know how hard I done worked to get you number one so I can say number one. Ben Taggart is going to headline for us, and I didn't want to say anything until after he was number one for 2 weeks. Even though I've been knowing that he was going to do this in January. But I said, Ben, I want to say the name number one. I want to say that with your name because I'm proud of him. He's worked 30 years in this industry, in the music industry, and has been magnificent at it. And 30 years is the first time he ever had a number one coast-to-coast song, number one. Not gospel, but on regular standard radio, okay? Number one. Mm-hmm. And on the Billboard charts. And we are a Billboard station, and that is to be widely recognized, in my opinion, in Middle Tennessee, because this is where he lives. And his church is in Middle Tennessee. And I'm just delighted to have him in the community, and I've been knowing him for umpteen years, so I'm Auntie Sharon Kay. You couldn't get a better cheerleader than that. So do contact us here at the radio station at 615-329-8754, or go online to the station website at WFSKFM.org for your applications. Now, we're resetting the table on the Pastor's Roundtable for the month of March. Reverend Darren Freeman of Tabernacle Baptist Church is here, along with the co-pastors of Joshua House Ministries, new in Nashville. That's Reverend Wilbert and Reverend Nikita Cummings. And they are here representing, and we are delighted to have our guests in the studio with us today. Now, let me go back to the Cummings, the Reverend Cummings. Your community over there, that where you have placed the Joshua House Ministries, is has history, different kind of history, some with gentrification, some with people being displaced totally, some with having been connected to crimes and different things, violence, etc., which, you know, all neighborhoods of Nashville seem like they are now. What kind of challenges are you all dealing with there?
Well,
challenges of trying to get the people to trust us.
Yeah.
To get to know us, to know that we're there, that we understand their struggle. Being from Los Angeles, California, I can kind of deal with whatever comes my way as far as, you know, I understand the person who's on the street.
You from Los Angeles?
Born and raised.
What are you doing here? See, I'm just all up in it.
Got tired of home. Okay. I needed something different.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Were you in ministry in California?
No. I was young and dumb.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
And how long you been here?
Well, I moved here the first time in 94.
Okay.
For like 2 years, and then I went home, went to the military mm-hmm. for 8, and then I went back home.
It's changed, hasn't it?
Yes. Well, when you go to the military, you change.
Oh,
when
yeah.
You leave, well, when you leave a place like L.A., Chicago, Detroit.
Yes.
And then you go home, you change.
Yes.
And then you come to the reality that since you changed, you have to either leave or take the risk of mm-hmm. people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Not changing and still feeling the same way they did when mm-hmm. you were a child.
True.
So I had to make a decision, and it was just to leave.
Yeah. So when were you, was your wife in ministry already? No?
No.
Okay. Did you all meet at church?
No. No,
that's it. Now, see, the name of the show is What's the 401?
Yeah, we met.
I just want to be clear that y'all know that that's, you know.
We met at a gas station. Remember when that was Amoco down the street?
Oh, boy, that's old Amoco.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Yeah, we old now. We've been seasoned.
All right, so they found love at the gas station. Okay. Yeah. So there's hope for some of y'all out there.
Yeah.
There is.
Did you pay for her gas? She got to fill up.
She paid for her own.
Okay. Now she has to pay for gas. Right. I pay for it and pump it.
Yeah, good for you. Amen. Now, so you mentioned military and Los Angeles and all that. So now you feel it's the time for you to work at the grassroots level, because that's still grassroots over there, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. It's a few other churches around.
Yeah.
But what we're trying to do, we believe, this is our philosophy, we believe that our ministry is called Joshua's Ministry because we believe that, you know, in Joshua 24:15,
mm-hmm.
you know, we believe that this house, our house, has to be built on a foundation,
right.
And believing in the power of God. So, because of that, we want to bring that back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're losing so many youth because they're not understanding
right.
what it is that, you know, that God is still real.
Yes,
God
he is
still there.
Amen.
You know, they're going into. I've seen so many people when I went to state who. Looking at certain shows, watching certain TV shows and mm-hmm. videos that came out and lost their way. They grew up in the church. They grew
yes.
up in the ministry.
Yeah.
But now because of something, someone tells you, I'm woke. So now that somehow means that I can't worship God because I'm now woke.
Really? Is that yeah. what that means? To pretty me, much. Woke is worshiping God, okay?
Some of them feel like so. Being woke means
oh, Lord.
That, you know, that's not our religion. And that's not our stance anymore because that was their stance. So that was.
Oh, so that's old timey. Old
yes,
school.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Like Yahoo email address. It's
yes.
old school. Oh, really?
So now I'm trying to get that back to them to understand that that's not. Don't think that's woke. Woke is still understanding who God is and what he's done for you.
That sounds like sleep.
Yes.
That don't
yes.
sound like woke.
No.
Like,
yes.
And knowing that's the case, both of you all, because you have young people in your congregations and folks who think they're woke, but actually they're asleep. They're in like a coma-like state.
Mm-hmm.
How are you shaking them up, Reverend Freeman?
Well, I just continue preaching the gospel, and at the same time, it's always good to learn what they think they know so that you know how to combat it. And that's called the old doctrine of apologetics, to mm-hmm. be able to stand firmly on what you believe versus what somebody else believes. I think one of the, at least for the African-American community,
mm-hmm.
We prayed so many years, let my child be better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Have my child go to school. Let them get a good education. And so what happens is that prayer has happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, more African Americans are in school and in college. And then they run into that crazy philosopher teacher. Right. The philosophy teacher.
The street teacher?
Well, no, the philosophy teacher.
Oh, the philosophy teacher.
Right.
Okay.
And a professor, I should say. And so now they're hearing some stuff, some new stuff that they never heard before. And I remember when I went to school, if any of you are saved, any of you love the Lord, by the time you get out of here in 15 weeks, you'll question everything you've ever learned.
Mm.
And that's where you have to have that faith. You have to have, you know, what you've been, what's been put in you.
Yeah.
You need to be able to stand on that versus what somebody else comes to give you. Because what I found out is that everybody has an opinion on something.
Certainly.
And no one was here when Jesus walked this earth. You know, but we all know about him.
Right.
You know.
Well, they also weren't here when the cornerstone of the earth was even laid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Even before that.
Yeah.
They weren't here then either.
I agree. And so now, you know, and I hear what you're saying, that Pastor Cummins is saying that, you know, I'm woke, you know. No, you're not woke.
Exactly. It's the opposite.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And knowing that that's the mindset at the grassroots level, now you said, okay, the old standby, just pray about it. But see, that don't work for people that don't believe in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You can stand around and talk about you going to pray, but that is not going to impress them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So the argument needs to go, I mean, the discussion needs to go to the next, because it's not reaching them. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
And even you tell grown folks that, I ain't got time to hear no prayer. Don't be. I heard someone say after a violent attack somewhere in this country, don't send me your thoughts and prayers, because I can't take, you know. Because mm-hmm. people, we say it so much, mm-hmm. it seems phony to people.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So people that are in the business to do what you all do, or in the ministry, how do you deal with that when you encounter people who just don't want to hear all that I'm praying stuff? Because it ain't getting me nowhere. I still got a light bill I got to pay. I mean, you know, they don't believe like you believe. So then what?
People require action. And that's what they're saying when you say that I'll be praying for you. That's fine. Thank you for your prayer. But I need actual action. Mm. And that's why, to me, it's so important for us to do the meals at Christmas, to do the backpack, you know, giveaway when school starts back, because while we're praying that, you know, God will provide for you so that you can have the food, you can have this,
mm-hmm.
The answer to the prayer is us,
mm-hmm.
however that manifests itself,
mm-hmm.
whether you begin, you have job fairs at your church, if you're providing some type of medical care, like you have people taking blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
doing free dental, whatever, providing tutoring, what we're the answer to the prayer. The church
mm-hmm.
is the answer to the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And if all we're doing is sitting on the pew and praying, we're not doing what God has required for us to do. So we're the answer to the prayer. Yeah, we do. We still need to pray, you know, ask God, but we have to do the action. We have to do the work.
Amen.
To bring them in so we can, because we're supposed to bring them in so they can be transformed,
right.
So they can go back out
and bless somebody
else.
Or, you know, or profane or vulgar or anything like that. But I try my best to talk to them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Calm their nerves, calm their fears, put my arm around them, that type of thing. Shake the hand, dap them up, put me a fist bump,
right.
whatever.
Right.
And then again, that's me. You know, I'm not phony or anything like that. You know, what you see is what you get.
Okay.
But at the same time, now I can go to the religious people as well, and
mm-hmm.
I can talk that. I can go to the academia and talk that as well. But the person we're really trying to reach is that guy that's walking down the
mm-hmm.
street right now that just
mm-hmm.
walked out of McDonald's
mm-hmm.
begging somebody for a cup
right.
of coffee
right.
Or whatever. That's the guy we got to reach. That mother who's got three kids in tow and don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do to help her? How do you talk to her?
Mm-hmm.
And so she's not trying to hear all the lofty language and the
yeah.
religious language. She's not trying to hear that.
Sure.
And so you're right, Sister Cummins, that you know, if we're not acting like we're the answer
mm-hmm.
to prayer, then they're not coming to our house.
Right.
They're not coming to the church.
Right.
They're going to walk right by it and not even look that way.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in my day, you know, and I'm not going to say how old I am, but when you walk by a church,
mm-hmm.
I was taught, stop talking.
Mm.
Take off your hat.
Mm-hmm.
By your head.
Right.
And then when we passed by, then the conversation started back up again.
Yeah.
You don't have that anymore.
Are you kidding?
No.
Stereo booming.
Right. You don't have that anymore.
No, not even close. There is no, the reverence is over. Because generationally, the ball has dropped so far and hard that that stuff isn't taught. And we're a couple of generations away from that now.
And then you got to look at what's going on at the top in our politics.
Oh, Lord. Ooh. Now shall we pray, y'all? Help us, Jesus, please.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I just can't help but think, and I since day one when he actually won, that there's a message that the Father is sending to all of us through this crazy man. I don't know how, but we're going to learn something about bad behavior and what it is and what it will and won't get you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we just are. And it's going to be a global message for the whole globe because of the scale of this thing. I mean, it just, there's nothing else it could be. Because it's disturbed the whole planet. I mean, it's the everybody on the in the planet is not feeling this at all. I never seen a reverberation quite like this one, and neither has anyone else. Now, I didn't get your opinion, Reverend Cummings, so I'll get yours when we come back. I know Reverend Nikita spoke, but I want to get yours as well, okay?
Okay.
All right, so we're having the discussion, you know, because we old Christians, y'all know we're going to pray on it. We're going to pray on it all night. Y'all know that stuff that we do. And a lot of people are like, they ain't hearing it. They're like, whoa, I'm woke. I don't need that. Hmm. Well, now that's a challenge for the church. Anyway, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Dependable and knowledgeable agent, seeks customers looking for protection and long-term relationships. Look no further than Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Having one special person for your car, home, and life insurance lets you get down to business with the rest of your life. You can stop by the offices of Terry W. Jones at 545 Main Street Drive, Suite 104 in Metro Center, or call 615-256-6066 or by email at myagent@terrywjones.net. We're calling all vendors for the upcoming Fisk Food and Music Festival on Saturday, June 29th. We're accepting applications right now on a first-come, first-served basis for food and non-food vendors with reasonable rates for early birds. The Fisk Food and Music Festival is the place to be in the good old summertime for outstanding music performances in a family-friendly atmosphere on the Grove. Free admission and free parking. Enjoy the Thomas Kane Band, Trumpeter Ryan Montano, all the way from L.A., saxophonist Donald Hayes, and headlining our annual Fisk Festival is number one recording artist Ben Tankard. For more information and details about the upcoming Fisk Food and Music Festival, visit our website at WFSKFM.org or give us a call at 615-329-8754. The Fisk Food and Music Festival, Saturday, June 29th. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent at State Farm Insurance. Also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. This morning, Pastor's Roundtable in the studios. The co-pastors of Joshua House Ministries, Reverend Wilbert and Reverend Nikita Cummings. We're happy to have the Cummings here today. And Reverend Darren Freeman of Tabernacle Baptist Church. And I want to ask, before I get the question back, where is Joshua House Ministries and what time is your service today?
Our services are at 11 to 12.
Okay.
We're at 700 Woodland Street at East Community Center.
Excellent. And Reverend Freeman?
2214 12th Avenue South. And
okay.
We start at 10 a.m. And we got two special guests with us.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. We're excited about that.
Well, your wife one of them?
She's always a guest.
Tell our audience who your wife is.
Adrian Lewis Freeman, the former lead singer for Risen, and she's out on her own now with two projects out and shooting up the charts. We're excited about
that. Well, see, that's what's up. Now, you get to carry her bags.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah. And I'm playing Joy Bells.
Thank you.
There you go.
I appreciate that.
Great.
Yeah. She
awesome.
Was supposed to carry my bags today, but she said not
today. Well, because I knew your wife from the group Risen before I met you, so you're being blessed for real.
Yes,
definitely.
Ma'am.
Now, before the break, Reverend Cummings, the question, what's your response to that? That's what people, that don't have a relationship with the Father.
I'm a strong believer in faith, but I'm also understand the Bible says faith without works is dead.
Right.
To me, faith is a verb, it's an action word.
Yes, it is.
You're doing something.
Yeah.
And so many people, I had a friend of mine who once said, I have faith that God is going to send me a check, as he sat on his couch. And I looked at him and said, I don't think it works that way. You have to do something
right.
to get the check.
Right.
And I believe that God will give you the opportunity. If you want this new vehicle, you want this new home, you want another opportunity, he will open the doors so that that opportunity and those things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't sit at home and say, okay, I'm just going to wait here for... to get a check.
I'm going to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Then be mad at the Lord because
yeah.
he didn't,
He didn't give it to you.
Right.
What is that old story of the flood that they always hear pastors say all the time? It was a flood and a guy was sitting on the roof and he sent the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Then he sends the plane and then he sends the dresser. And then when he dies, he says, well, Lord, you didn't send me anything. Well, I sent you a boat, a plane, and a dresser. You chose not to take none of my options.
No.
I don't know what to tell you.
Right. Well, and that same type of situation I see also happening when you see those late night pastors, those late night TV preachers, and I needed $16,000 checks, I can buy my house, and I got the miracle spring water and got the magic cloth. That's the church doing that. So how much confusion is that sending out to the land, Reverend Freeman?
Is it the church?
Well, it's alleged.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'll work with that.
Okay. Under the guises of or something.
The Bible speaks of, and I don't want to, I'll say this, the Bible speaks of charlatans and those who are after the filthy lucre.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it can happen because people are still buying into it.
Mm-hmm.
And once the people stop buying into it, then those requests, it'll stop.
Yeah.
But obviously, it must be very, very lucrative because...
It doesn't seem to stop.
Because to be on those type of TV stations, it costs $2,500 in half an hour.
Right, right. And they're on every night.
And they're on every night.
Yeah.
That's never going to stop because... There's always someone new to Christ, just like when we open the doors of the church for people who are coming in who have just discovered Christ. It's some of those same people who fall prey to the zest and when they're in their zest and zeal for the Lord, on fire for the Lord, and then they flip the channels and they hear a word and they believe it's a relevant word. It could be, but then, as you're saying, they fall right into that.
Yeah.
And so,
well, the relevant word shouldn't always be tied to gimme.
Yeah, but they don't know it.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, there's always someone new. There's always a new generation coming.
Yeah, that's
so there's
true.
Always someone,
And then when they get hurt, then they come back to the local church.
Right.
And then they come back to the pastors, you know, that's going to marry, bury them in the whole nine. But yet they just gave $16,000 to that guy on TV.
Right.
And then they come to us.
Right,
you know,
mad.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or looking to replace what they just gave away.
Wow.
So.
And still not understanding a single thing in the process.
Exactly.
Okay, and so Reverend Cummings, because I mean literally these people are on all night long sometimes, and particularly on black television all night, and with these same tired messages every night, crying black women, or people getting up from wheelchairs that really are not in a wheelchair, all kind of craziness. And you have that messaging in the woke people's mind, okay? Right? So,
yeah.
And, you know, that's all they need is that. So you got to counter that.
Well, like I tell woke people, you know, they don't believe.
Uh-huh.
And if you, and I tell them, if you're so holy, if you're so holy and you're so perfect, then explain to me why did you give yourself an end date.
Mm-hmm.
If you created yourself, why would you create yourself to die?
Right.
You have an end date. So therefore, someone had to create you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have an end date.
Yes.
So ultimately, you have to, if nothing else, acknowledge that fact.
They have an end date, but they can't tell you when it is.
Exactly. You can't even tell me that.
Right.
So I try to get people to understand that if something happens because they bought this cloth or they bought this whatever they bought on TV, it's not because they bought it.
Right.
The Bible says that she touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. And he turned to her and said, your faith made thee whole.
Yes.
So it's your faith that healed you. It's your faith that got you what you needed. It wasn't that you bought the cloth, but you put your power of thoughts in that cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to put your power and faith in God.
Right. But it's just, you know, we are in such a time right now where we're seeing the leader of the world rewarded in such a way of riches and fame and power, who I never have seen him go to church or heard a spiritual word or word of faith out of his lips, and heard it even before he became president. Did things that were unscrupulous, and they see that as the reward. So what is the, you know, when you get the hardcore people out there, we got problems in this community like crazy with the young ones. Okay, just like, I mean, it's like robbing and stealing and lost their minds, literally. Like never before in Nashville, may I say, because I lived here 33 years. What kind of messaging do you have for them?
Well, Pastor Cummings is from L.A., large city. I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut, which is right there by New York, Baltimore, and then D.C., so what's happening in Nashville, we've already seen.
Okay.
And because of the growth and, you know, and the surge of people that are coming in, guess what's going to happen?
Of course.
Okay. And at the same time, you've got people moving in with resources and they're trusting, their doors are unlocked and that type of thing.
Yeah.
And people are finding opportunity to do, you know, these things like that. And so I have noticed, you know, in my 6 years here, a lot of people from Nashville really, really surprised and shocked at what's going on. Whereas I sit back and I'm like, I've just been there, done that, seen it before, and it's going to get worse, unfortunately.
Well, I'm not saying this was heaven, okay?
Right.
Because there's always been drive-by. There's always been mess here.
Yeah.
But I just see the young bands of 13, 12, and 13-year-olds stealing cars and doing the crazy stuff that they're doing in mass. You know, not just one here and one there sometime, but like in mass, like crazy in mass.
Again, that's we've seen all of that before.
What I've noticed is I'm a substitute teacher as well. And working within the school system, what I've seen is the because of people moving from these other cities, you changed your environment, but you didn't change your thinking.
Right.
Because they moved here, now they're influenced.
They got the same mindset they had before they came.
Yeah, and the young people here feel as though Nashville is boring. It's nothing to do. So because we don't have things for them to do, what do? They listen to this guy who just got here.
Right.
Telling them, oh, man, we used to do this, we used to do that, we rep this game, we rep that game.
Right.
And they feel as though that's something to do. So let me get into this, because right now, and I've even had them go as far as say, we're not cowboys, we don't ride horses, and I don't want them thinking that.
Right.
Because I used to tell people, I'm envious of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up where I grew up at, you'd be lucky to make it home.
Yeah.
And to, you can come here and be at peace. I love Nashville because I don't have the same feeling when I go home.
Right.
When I go home, the mindset switches.
Yeah.
Just to make sure I can make it back.
Right.
So when you look at how these kids are intentionally wanted to get into something to dispel the thought pattern of we're not country because they're ashamed of what country means.
Right. Right.
And they don't understand that it's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's peaceful.
Can I add a perspective also, because I'm a former youth pastor, and I will say that a lot of this also falls on us as parents.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our kids out there doing this stuff. And so when I see it on TV, whether it be a shooting, whether it be a carjacking, robbery, whatever it is, my first thought is always, if it's depending on the time of it, why were you out there?
Mm-hmm.
Where are your parents? And then when something happens, I have to watch a parent in the courtroom on TV crying, hollering, and swearing to the rafters, that's my baby, and et cetera, et cetera. And at that point, it's hard to question a parent when they're in grief.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but that's sort of the cycle. So it's we as parents not taking responsibility to make sure that our kids are where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to be doing to the best of our ability, as well as a broken system that allows children to have more of a voice over their parents. So it's a combination of both.
It's a combination of more than, it's like four or five elements.
Yeah.
Because really, technically, I see from my generation, I have, my oldest daughter is your age.
Mm-hmm.
And I see my generation as one who dropped the ball in passing on some of the traditions and some of the parental responsibilities that we should have, because we were doing our thing, Jack. Don't y'all get that twisted. Our generation was having a funky good time. Y'all know it. You know it because you was there and you got pictures to prove it from the Polaroids from old school. So I think a couple of notches slipped generationally, and that's why, to a certain degree, stuff is where it is. Because, you know, there is, it seems like the scale of responsibility is almost tipped upside down because the kids are running the house and mama's out, you know,
doing what
mama does.
I forgot to add this part. You'd be surprised to find out that the kids are acting just like some of the parents.
Right.
I learned that because I spent like 4 years subbing in Metro, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to call your parents. And to discover, number one, there's a wrong number, can't reach the parent. Number two, when I do get a hold of the parent, they don't want to hear it. It's like, you know what? They're in school with you. Don't call me about this stuff.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm saying, everywhere.
Notches. Yeah. It's just the notches. So, you know, some of it is attributed, because I'm not originally from here, okay? I'm from the Midwest, from Kansas City. You can get shot in Kansas City just like you can here, okay, or in L.A. But my point is that I don't, that's some of it that is just filtering in. But what about the kids that's born and raised in it here? They're not L.A. A lot of the kids that are here are here. They've been, this is Nashville's their home, and this is all they know. So I don't know if it's so much of the influence of people coming in as it is the slipping in of morality or an ethic or standard or integrity. It was just a slippage of the way we are and who, you know, who we're looking to as our leaders. Because they're just, you know.
I think it's all of that.
Okay.
Because it's what everyone has said. And then at some point, somebody has to be the person to say, okay, we need to fix this. Mm-hmm. Because we are, in essence, a village. So it takes the whole village to do it. And I think with all the new buildings and all of that, it seems like someone in Metro government would have said, you can build this here, but you got to put a community center over here. You have to provide job training for the young people. You got to provide this. And nobody's doing that.
No.
You know, they'll tear down a youth building or, you know, whatever, but they're not providing. And I think that should be a requirement, that if you're going to come to Nashville, you're going to do business, you have to get back into education.
Well, it's my hope as well that as all the industries and hubs move here, that they also consider their nonprofit giving and supporting of the community. Because what ends up happening with the money cycle of the rich folks spend amongst themselves, and we saw that in the college scandal.
Yes, we
they,
did.
They slide it from one side of the table to the other. Mm-hmm. It never seems to filter outside, which is what the promise is.
Mm-hmm.
They tell us they're going to do that, and then when they get to where, you know, like place like this, it doesn't happen. And, you know, this community has bukus of nonprofits and houses of worship. Tons. And yet, we fight like dogs for these little scraps.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to serve the community. And there's something really wrong with that, with all those buildings downtown that are headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking Amazon's coming, Bridgestone is down there, all these other big entities, and they're not pouring back into the community. They'll have a once a year, we give you some turkeys, and that we're done. We need y'all. You come into our community, adding to things, yes, we're grateful. But we still need them to step up at a larger pace and help the community more. And I'm so glad you said that, because that's the way it is. There ain't no community center nowhere in the immediate area. I'm going to have to ask the mayor that next time he comes.
And she's right, because I grew up in New York, and believe it or not, after school, the boys club, the Boys and Girls Club, is where I spent my time instead of just hanging out in the streets
probably
with my
friends. Probably the closest
friends.
One is right here.
Yeah, right around the corner in this
Watkins
community.
Park,
and she hit the nail right, because I'm thinking about how I grew up. It was the Boys and Girls. That's where I went. That's where my parents sent me. And that's where I learned to play basketball and do homework
nobody,
after school and all that
nobody
stuff.
Nobody that needs a center like that lives downtown anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Boom. They took care of that one real good, honey. They moved all of those people that had that gone.
Mm-hmm.
They gone. That's progress, baby. At least that's what Adam Clayton Powell used to say back, way back when. Y'all don't even know who that is. So they're too young. All these youngins in here. They say, who's Adam Clayton Powell? Let me look it up.
He's my frat brother.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you know who he was.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
Right X.
Oh, no. What frat is that?
You know which one.
Oh, that's right. It's only one. I know. Okay.
That's right.
I've heard that a thousand times.
Yeah,
don't start me up on that.
Let's not do that for you.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Because, see, he'll pull out all his blue with everything.
But of course.
Yeah.
Well, there's a blue fly sitting right next to you. He's sitting right there.
Oh, see, yes. All day. We done took the train off the track now.
It takes 1 hour to overcome 2 seconds.
As I say, you heard the train go by and just went right off the track. Anyway, let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
Support for What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you
you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including 10 Care and Cover Kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com.
Hey, Nashville, it's Marcus Johnson, host of Catch the Flow on WFSK Jazzy 88. I'm returning to the City Winery Sunday, March 31st, and I want you to join me. Keep listening for a chance to win two tickets. Keep flowing with Marcus Johnson, Catch the Flow on WFSK Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University, and I had to put the train back on the track, y'all, so we can roll up to the top of the hour. Let me reintroduce our studio guest today for our Pastor's Roundtable, the Reverends Wilbert and Nikita Cummings, co-pastors of Joshua House Ministries, as well as Reverend Darren Freeman of Tabernacle Baptist Church. And before we leave this morning, I'm going to have them tell you where their churches are and their houses of worship are, as well as the time of their services today. So if you're wondering, you know, just stay tuned and we'll take care of that in just a second. Now, I have mentioned before we digress down to frat land, I have mentioned the name Adam Clayton Powell.
Right.
And I said you young schoolers wouldn't know who that is. And Reverend Freeman said that's his frat brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Reverend Freeman, he was, of course, a distinguished member of Congress, and you all are always proud of your distinguished members in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
But as well, he was a minister.
That's right.
And you have a lot of people. You're an East Coast person. You probably was very familiar with his work. And I just wanted to mention that. And he passed away in 1972. So some of y'all weren't even born. Okay. And the Reverend Cummings are shaking their head like, nope, not us. We weren't born. So, and neither was X. He wasn't born yet either. Was you born in 72?
I was 1 year old.
Well, like you're going to remember, okay? Okay, now before I mention this in the 7 o'clock hour, but we are in the Lenten season. And I want to do, I know we've been talking about a host of things, but I do want to talk about this time frame and time period that we are in. And I will ask each of you to give your thoughts on Lent and what it means. It started, Lenten season started Wednesday, March the 6th, which was last Wednesday. And it ends on Saturday, April 20th. So, Reverend Freeman, your thoughts on Lent?
Lent to me is 40 days of refreshing and renewal,
mm-hmm.
Where you can really reflect on what the Lord is doing in our lives, mm-hmm. if there's anything that needs to be cleansed out. And that's where the fasting piece comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you can use anything to fast. You know, whatever that thing is, mm-hmm. that gives you pleasure, or that thing that may necessarily hold you back from your worship, mm-hmm. or serving God, if you stop that,
mm-hmm.
for 40 days and deny yourself of that. When, mm-hmm. and some people look at it as chocolate, you know, it could be steak, it could be pork, whatever. But it also could be washing your car every day.
Well,
you know what I mean? You know, that type of thing. You know, you could, and I'm using that as an example, but this is a great time to really, you know, take a look at where's my life going right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I doing? And then work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that you do in 3 days or three times becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ought to be able to keep up.
So you got 6 weeks to form some new habits.
Right. Or get it right.
Yeah.
Or break old ones.
Yeah. definitely. What about you, Reverend Cummings?
Like Pastor said, I believe it's that time to build, mm-hmm. to strengthen your relationship with God, to renew your relationship with God in mm-hmm. some cases. And just, I also believe that you can fast with anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, it's the, whatever's distracting you from your relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, be it your phone. You know, a lot of people.
Oh, that would take them down. They couldn't take that now.
Yeah, you know, social media.
Ooh, I've got family members. They'd be like, oh,
yeah, yeah. And sometimes they may need to do that. They may just, you know, fast from social media, fast from, you know, if it's not taking you closer to God, is it really worth it? It's a time to reflect on that. Uh-huh. You know, where's my relationship going? Why am I still? Am I still in that same rut that I was in last year? Let me do something different than I didn't do this year.
Yeah. Now, Reverend Nikita, why do I need to do this? I mean, what's the purpose? 40-day. Why? Now, I'm woke. Okay, I'm supposed to know things, right? So you're dealing with that when you deal with folks in the world and in your ministry.
It's basically what the pastor said, for you to be able to have inner reflection. It's your time to have to renew, or maybe you need to start having an intimate relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Not just praying, but praying and intentionally listening to what he mm-hmm. has to say to you while you're praying or after you pray, and seeking his guidance. I know some people, excuse me, on social media who come off of social media during this time. And if you do that, if that's your what you decide to give up, after you've done it, after the 40 days, my hope is that when you come back to social media, your language has changed mm-hmm. and what you're saying has changed. Your thought process has changed. That maybe instead of you talking about what's going on in the Housewives of Atlanta, you're saying, let me give you some inspiration for today and some motivation and encouragement.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's what's going to happen when you come back, when you restart after that 40 days.
Okay. Now, Reverend Freeman, why? Now, this is for the people who claim they woke now. And woke means the opposite of what we discovered today on the show. It means the opposite of what we think. So why do I need to spend 40 days, and what is it about 40 days? And what does that have to do with me? I mean, Jesus, I haven't read the Bible, so I don't know. Tell me.
Well, in a nutshell, Lent is on our liturgical calendar, which means the church calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not sitting back mm-hmm. and take a look at what's going on around us mm-hmm. or even within us,
mm-hmm.
Lent has been set aside. These 40 days are set aside to the point where we can sit back and chill, if I can use that word, and chill for a minute and reflect and think and pray. And those who may say, I don't pray, you know, if you're reflecting, you know.
Now, why do I need to reflect? Does this have anything to do with Jesus being in the desert for 40 days?
I need to be a
better man. Does this have anything to do? I heard about that. But now, y'all know I'm being silly, okay? I'm just trying to think like somebody who doesn't know the Lord. I mean, what does that mean? Where'd you get 40? Why could it just be 2 weeks? I mean, what does that mean? What's the significance of it? Those are the questions people don't get. So, therefore, they're like, well, I'm not doing this. This is stupid. It's ridiculous. You can't tell me. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the rationalization that somebody would have when you talk about 40 days without my phone. I can't go 15 minutes. I mean,
the 40 days represented of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness.
Right.
So if you stay without your phone, it keeps you from not being tempted to clap back at somebody.
So it's about giving up for the sake of learning not to be tempted.
Right.
So that's what it is. Okay, so we got to flip the switches on people's brain then, because they're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they get it, but they don't get it. Jesus, let me see who. I mean, the mindset is, I don't need him. Why should I care? I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Okay.
But let him get in trouble.
Right.
Is Jesus in jail? Yes, he is.
Let something go down. And I guarantee you, we don't talk about, they going to call him.
Yeah.
You know.
The first thing they going to say, Lord, I need your help.
Yeah, we know him then.
Yes, yeah, he's in jail. I mean, soon as that's the first one they're calling on before you can call your mom and them.
Whoever's listening, and if you feel I don't need Lent or I don't understand it, if I were you, Lent is a voluntary time that you can take to get it together before something happens to you where you would wish, I wish I had taken that time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because the Lord has a way of putting us on our knees and on our butts.
Yes, he does now.
Yes, he does.
And then for somebody that's hard-headed, too, it might take them a little bit longer before that happens. And so this time period is considered, do you all consider this a high time in the church right now, between now?
Yeah.
Okay. And what kind of sacrifices do you all make? Is the sacrifice each of you get to make your own, or is it you ask the Joshua House Ministries to do various things, or what?
I think that it's a personal thing.
Okay.
It's one that we might do something as a church, get up and do corporate prayer in the morning, but I think that it's what you give up. Has to be something that's personal to you, so that it means something to you. Versus, okay, he said give up pork. You might not eat pork anyway. What difference does it make?
Right.
So, you know, if it doesn't mean anything to you, I don't believe you get the same benefit.
Okay. Okay. So it has to be tied to something that has personal meaning to you.
Mm-hmm. Must be a sacrifice. That's part of the Catholics, because I went to private school from second grade to ninth grade. That's part of almost a must do during Lent.
Well, if you didn't go there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I know what you're saying, but I'm being stupid today because
there's people out there that don't have any relationship. Yeah. But never been to a church, don't know anything about all this stuff.
Yeah, if it's not a sacrifice, then you're not actually participating. It must be a sacrifice, because right now we're on consecration, and that's part of our activity. And when I get hungry for certain things, and I want to, I'm thinking, man, I would like to have, then I think, oh, nope, I cannot. God, you are so good. Mm-hmm. You are so good, because I remind myself that it's a sacrifice. And then I remind myself about the sacrifice on the cross. And that's what it is. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and then, you know, if you don't go to church, you don't know anything about a cross. Okay. So I'm just taking it down to the granular level, okay? Because obviously there's a lot of people that are misled or don't know.
And I guess, and for pastors, I assume this is also a great time of year as we're moving into Easter and teaching about sacrifice and what it means to sacrifice so that people who participate...
Sacrifice?
By the time you get to Easter, they should have, if you've really been participating, even if it's off and on and you're not, you know, you won't stay with it, it gives you an understanding of God.
Let me give you just a capsule. I said that one time to a gentleman working at a store that was from the Middle East. Okay. Culturally. And he said, why are you so happy? I said, you know, I was talking about Christian, you know, going to church and loving the Lord and all that kind of stuff. And he said, well, I was thinking about Christianity because I'm not a Christian. And I said, well, you know, you got to do sacrifice. You know, you have to. You know. He looked at me like, no sacrifice. Because, see, that means different things in different
countries. Right? So,
you know, when you say that, because I was like, oh, he said sacrifice? Like, I got to lose a limb or get my head cut off? I mean, that took on a whole new connotation when I said that word to him. So for us as Christians, we need to consider that when we're dealing with people from other cultures, that we call it the sacrifice, but we need to explain. Because after I told him, I'm like, no, you don't get hurt in this process. That's not, you know, that's not what it was. But he just went straight to, he was getting ready to get something cut off of him. And, you know, because of that, their customs and traditions over in the country where they're from. But you say sacrifice to somebody who spends a lot of money and go shopping all the time, they gonna cut their eyes at you.
Right.
You know, that's like, that's, you know, cell phone, oh no. They're gonna look at you like, psh. So when you're explaining, even though a lot of people in your churches are seasoned, everybody's not seasoned. And because when you're out here doing your ministries and outreach, you're meeting people on the street that have absolutely no background, no knowledge.
Right.
So we really have to break things down to the granular level to get them to understand. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, Easter is April 20th.
It's the third Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's April 20th, our Resurrection Sunday. And they're like, resurrection?
Yeah. They got up.
Right, right, right. Okay, that was real simple, y'all. You got up.
Okay. With all power.
Yeah. There it is.
Power? but, I mean, if our generation dropped the ball and didn't teach, didn't have instill a sense of faith in a generation, how do we expect them to pass it on if they never got it? That's my point. If they never got it,
But there's always hope.
Yeah, there is.
There's always hope, and as long as we lean on that.
And not on our own understanding.
Yeah, I'm satisfied as long as there's hope.
Amen. So, amen.
You gotta keep reaching and teaching.
Yeah, reaching and teaching. Amen.
Yeah, but I always say, well, I'll always have a job.
Oh, you will. All of y'all will. Okay, clearly you will. Let me close up with asking you, Reverend Wilbur Cummings, to tell the audience where you're located. What are you going to preach on today?
Right now I'm on a series dealing with faith.
Okay.
And development as far as how to develop.